Good evening. I will now call to order the January 23rd, 2025 meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Commissioner Stanton, may we please have a roll call?
Yes, there's a new secretary in town this evening. Brodsky.
Here.
Ortiz.
Here.
Placer.
Here.
I'm here. Ms. Galloway-Jones.
Here.
Ms. Williams. Ms. Lowe.
Here.
Wilson. Walters.
Yes, here.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We have a quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Are there any changes or adjustments to the agenda, Mr. Zinner?
No, there are not, ma'am.
Move to approve the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Lowe, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. Thumbs up approval on the agenda. Sorry. Unanimous. Thank you. We all received a copy of the minutes from our last regular meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Are there any changes or adjustments to the minutes? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Approval moved by Commissioner Lowe, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. Can I get a thumbs up approval on the minutes? Unanimous with two abstentions from Commissioners Ortiz and Brodsky. Thank you. Wonderful. Moving to our first request for the evening, it is a tabling request on case number 68-25. A request by Courtney Pulley, owner, for the approval of a conditional use permit, CUP, to allow 5406 Gemstone Way to be used as a short-term rental for a maximum of 8 transient guests and up to 210 nights annually pursuant to section 29-3.3VV and 29-6.4M of the Unified Development Code. The approximately 20.22-acre subject site is zoned R1 single-family dwelling, is located south of the intersection of Gemstone Way and Agate Way, and is addressed 5406 Gemstone Way. A request to table this matter to the February 6th Planning Commission meeting has been received. May we please have a staff report?
Yes, Madam Chair. As you've indicated, a request has been received to table this matter to February 6th. The applicant was unavailable to be in attendance here this evening, and given our last short-term rental application request with a non-applicant here, we advise the applicant to request this tabling to be able to appear at your February 6th meeting, which he has indicated he will be here for. We have nothing else to state as it relates to this matter, and it is just a thumbs-up vote to accept the date certain February 6, 2025, for the hearing to be moved forward to.
Very good. Are there any questions for staff about the tabling request? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve the tabling request?
I move that we table case 68-25. Till date certain of February 6, 2025's Planning and Zoning meeting.
Second.
Tabling moved by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Lowe. Can I get a thumbs up approval on the tabling motion? Unanimous. Thank you. Our next case for the evening. Case number 198-24, a request by Crockett Engineering Agent on behalf of BC Investments of Columbia LLC owner for approval of a design adjustment from section 29-5.1G of the UDC in regards to required dedication of utility easements, a concurrent 22-lot final plat to be known as Tuscany Ridge Plat Number 4 is associated with this request. Planning and Zoning Commission action is limited to the requested design adjustment as the proposed final plat is substantially compliant with the previously approved preliminary plat for Tuscany Ridge. Pursuant to Section 29-5.2 of the UDC, a recommendation of approval on the submitted final plat shall be withheld unless the requested design adjustment is recommended for approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission and approved by City Council. The 5.78-acre subject site, Tuscany Ridge Plat Number 4, is located along the southwest corner of the overall Tuscany Ridge subdivision and is commonly addressed as 5217 Brown Station Road. May we please have a staff report?
Yes, you may. Thank you, Madam Chair. So as you stated in the intro there, the
let's back up a second. I'll do the public notice that I forgot this time. So property owner letters were sent to 15 neighboring property owners on the 30th, and then the Tribune ad was ran on January 7th. Again, as you stated, the applicants are seeking approval of a 22-lot final plat on a 5.78-acre site to be known as Tuscany Ridge Plat 4. This is our kind of broad aerial view. As you can see, there's been some earthwork there with previous phases of Tuscany Ridge. And this would be the extension of Pompey Drive, which is kind of the diagonal road there towards the larger property to the west, which is actually the Northeast Regional Park property or the old Boone County Fairgrounds. And that will come into play in a minute, and we'll get to that. So in the course of reviewing the final plat on this property, staff realized that they were missing an easement on the west side of their property. I guess I kind of hit here. Basically, along the western property edge here of this proposed plat is a arterial roadway called Venetian Parkway. And they've placed that western right-of-way line directly on the property line, which then doesn't leave room for the 10-foot utility easement. So as I said, it abuts the Northeast Regional Park. And then we'll get to that errant easement thing there. The plat that you were provided is a little bit outdated in that we have asked them to remove the easement there in red. That was recorded in error. Long story short, they were trying to rectify the situation by adding an easement on the city's property because the city does own that park, which cannot be done. And so they'll be removing that on the plat as it moves forward, contingent on this design adjustment. So they are seeking the design adjustment as opposed to moving the road, which would require redesign of the roadway alignment or the profile, probably create issues with lot sizes down the street in this kind of ripple effect, kind of in addition to conflicting with existing and installed infrastructure on the east side of the road. So there's a number of reasons why they don't want to just add the 10-foot on the west side of the road and provide the easement. So this was the kind of logical solution, was to pursue the design adjustment. So again, so the easement, the city can't dedicate an easement to ourselves, and so that's one reason why we didn't just provide them an off-site easement in that location. But the fact is, it is our property, so if we need it for anything, we can use it. And so this design adjustment, again, is probably the only way we can really rectify the situation, legally speaking, without causing them a major redesign and potentially even triggering a new preliminary plat on this property. So it becomes a little onerous to force them to do that. So as we have with all of our design adjustments, there's the evaluation criteria for those in Section 29.5.2b9. That list is here. So first is that it's consistent with comprehensive plan and any policy guidance provided by council. Second is that it won't create significant adverse impacts on adjacent lots or adjacent property owners. Third one is it won't make circulation for any type or mode of transportation more difficult or dangerous. The fourth being that the design adjustment is requested to address a unique feature of the site or to achieve unique character. And the final one is that it will not impact public health or safety. So in staff's evaluation of this, we determined the design adjustment's not consistent with the priorities placed on adequate and equitable infrastructure, because we would typically require that easement to be there in any other location, any new development. However, we have to consider also that the plat is consistent with the preliminary plat that was approved in 2006 before both the comprehensive plan and the current UDC. So while that was something that was contemplated back then, it wasn't contemplated in the same way. And so Our regulations in place now are a little more proactive at obtaining those easements. So another consideration is the infrastructure to serve the proposed development is contained within the development, and so that easement's not really necessary to serve this phase of Tuskegee Ridge. And then the other consideration I've kind of touched on already is that any future needs for infrastructure on the west side can be facilitated because the property is owned by the city, and we would have access to do that on there. So as long as the city owns it, that will not be an issue. So back, those items were all for that first criteria, and then so these are the remaining four criteria. There are no significant adverse impacts on the neighboring properties. Again, all of the infrastructure for this portion of the development is contained on site. The design adjustment won't have an impact on circulation through the site. Again, this will be kind of a dead end, if you will, for now. Venetian will be the north-south street that goes along that primary north-south property line. So we're only going to get this small portion of it, I believe about 200 feet of it right now. So it'll just essentially be a turnaround at the end of Pompeii Drive for the time being. So that is neither here nor there when it comes to this easement and granting the design adjustment. That won't change anything. So again, the preliminary plat was approved before the comp plan and the development code. City ownership kind of helps us avoid that. And then there are no impacts anticipated on public health or safety. Again, with or without the easement, the road connection, or really lack thereof until further development happens, is kind of the same regardless. So the design adjustment doesn't have any significant impact there. I've already touched on the conclusion, really. Everything needed on site's being accommodated. So there's really no easement, no real need immediately for the easement for the Northeast Regional Park property, and no significant impacts are anticipated. So with that, staff's recommendation would be to approve the design adjustment from section 5.1 G4 and 5 regarding the easement dedication on the west side of Venetian. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Before we go to questions for staff, if any of my fellow commissioners have had contact with parties to this case outside of a public hearing, please disclose so now. Seeing none, questions for staff? Seeing none? Very good. We'll go to public hearing. Members of the public, please come forward, state your name and address for the record. 3 minutes for individuals, 6 minutes for applicants and groups.
Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Tim Crockett, Crockett Engineering, 1000 West Nifong. As Mr. Palmer indicated, this preliminary plat was approved in 2006. And at that time, and still to this day, CATSO has Venetian Parkway shown on their CATSO plan, which is a major collector that runs north and south. And so typically what you see when you go through this property, you'd see that that roadway would be split between two property owners on either side. Obviously, at that time, the county owned the fairgrounds, and they weren't really interested in granting additional right-of-way for that road. So what was decided was we would put it on the property line. We put it all on my client's property, put the road, put the right-of-way, everything on that side, and then they would grant the 10-foot utility easement. Pretty simple, pretty standard. And the reason for that is if we move the road over 10 feet, now, and I think staff mentioned that in their staff report a little bit, there's a grudge strip. There's a 10-foot strip that the Boone County at the time wouldn't have access to Venetian Parkway. And given, again, it is a major collector, which is to serve that whole area. It's not to serve my development. It's not a road that would be in there for just this specific property, but for that entire area, including all of the fairgrounds. And so talked to the commission at that time. They were fine with granting easement. Well, as we all know, at a much later date, the City of Columbia purchased the fairgrounds from Boone County. And the issue here is I don't think that the city is necessarily against granting an easement. It's the fact that the city can't grant an easement. They can't grant an easement to themselves. And so that's the issue that's at hand tonight is that, you know, they can't grant an easement, and I don't think everybody wants to move the road over and have that grudge strip. And so that's the reason why we're before you tonight. So if there's any questions that you have, I'm happy to try to answer them.
Very good. Are there any questions for this speaker? Seeing none. Okay, thank you very much. Anyone else from the public to speak on this case? Seeing none, we will close public hearing and go to commissioner comments. Any commissioner comments? Commissioner Stanton, go ahead.
Even though I love seeing Crockett sweat, there's no reason to. This is pretty technical, straightforward. So, Madam Chair, if there's no other questions from my colleagues, I'd entertain a motion.
If you would give me just a minute, Commissioner, legal counsel has something.
Sure, I just wanted to clarify what's going on with this. Legal's had their hands on this plat for a while. And the corrective easements to correct the erroneously filed grant of utility easement on the city property, I don't believe it's been filed yet, but that got cleared by legal. I can't remember if it was Friday or Tuesday, and I don't know if it's been recorded yet, but that has been fixed. So I would agree with Mr. Crockett's assessment of the situation. So I just wanted to clarify that and give the commission all the information they needed to move forward.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Stanton.
I move forward on that recommendation.
Sorry, I just wasn't sure what he.
As it relates to case 198-2024, I move to approve the design adjustments from section 29-5.1, subsection G, 4, and 5 regarding easement dedication on west side of Venetian Parkway.
Second.
Approval moved by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Placer. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Stanton, when you're ready, may we have a roll call?
Walters?
Yes.
Oh?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Yes. Placer?
Yes.
Ortiz?
Yes.
Brodsky?
Yes.
Unanimous, Madam Chair.
Thank you. That recommendation will be forwarded to City Council. Our next case for the evening, case number 62-2025, a request by a civil group agent on behalf of TLI Real Estate Holdings owners for approval of a revised PD plan and statement of intent to the 2024 approved Fresh Karma PD plan. The revision proposes to subdivide and add one lot to the existing PD plan to make the corresponding revisions to the site-specific SOI. The revised PD plan will be known as Fresh Karma PD plan. The approximately 2-acre subject site is located northeast of the intersection of Highway 63 and Stadium Boulevard and includes the address 1407 Cinnamon Hill. May we please have a staff report?
Yes, you may, Madam Chair. Property owner letters were sent out on January 6th and a Tribune ad was sent out on December 31st. I do want to note that we received one public comment via email after the agenda was published that was distributed to the commission physically this tonight. Aerial view of the specific site. Now, I do want to mention that the Fresh Karma marijuana dispensary has been built on the southern half of the property, along with a portion of the parking and the actual driveway access from Cinnamon Hill. To the north of this site, we have the Kelly Farms Apartments and Holiday Inn. To the west, we have a couple drive-through restaurants, and to the south, there's some other developments. All of these are zoned PD along with the subject site, and as we can see, Highway 63 is there to the west. So the applicant is seeking approval of a PD revision and a statement of intent, or an SOI revision, to subdivide the lot and make sure that all of the requisite agreements and signage is going to be up to par when we get to that point. As mentioned, it's currently zoned PD along with everything else around it. Last PD revision was from January of last year. They amended the statement of intent from a 4-story hotel down to a 2-structure subject site, a northern structure with a mixed-use building currently intended for a restaurant on the first floor and offices on the second floor. And then, as mentioned, there is a marijuana dispensary on the southern half of the property. Currently, as I mentioned, the southern building is the only one that's currently been constructed at this time. So in order to divide the lot into two different properties, they are going to have to provide to us all of the relevant shared ingress and egress easements, as well as shared parking and trash collection agreements. That will be all finalized when the final plat comes through. A parking diagram for the required provided and layout of the parking was provided in a separate exhibit. And with the subdivision, I do want to point out that there will be no increase in density or change in the structures or parking that will be developed on the site. All that is staying the same. They are subdividing the lot mostly for separate ownership reasons at this time. The statement of intent had to change just to preserve the intended original shared sign agreement that would have resulted, had we not changed it, in the northern lot having off-site signage, which is expressly not permitted by the UDC. So we had them update their statement of intent to include that, as well as not allow freestanding or monument signs on the northern lot. So the northern lot's going to get their monument sign off-site. However, all wall signage will still be subject to section 29.4.8 at this time. We reviewed it. Everything is still up to our standards, as the actual features of the site aren't necessarily changing. It's the dedications of easements and the parking agreement that will be changing at this time. The PD plan and SOI that was included with the agenda was subject to technical corrections at the time. We have since gotten a updated statement of intent and PD plan based on the signage requirements that we were asking for. That has all been approved. So at this time, we would be voting for full approval, not approval via technical corrections. The staff's recommendation is to approve the proposed PD plan and associated SOI revisions at this time. And I want to thank you guys. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to help answer those questions for you.
Thank you very much. Before we go to questions for staff, if any of my fellow commissioners have had contact with parties to this case outside of a public hearing, please disclose so now. Seeing none, questions for staff. Commissioner Brodsky.
I had a quick question in relation to Dr. Puri's email. Mm-hmm. If folks did want to subdivide any of these other lots in this planned development, one, they'd have to come to us to do that, and two, would they, you know, this subdivision doesn't involve any increase in density or use. They're just kind of splitting that square footage up. Would that be the case, also the case if anyone else were to come forward wanting to subdivide lots? Would they be held to that same kind of floor square footage?
It would depend on what they're proposing. You know, as you mentioned, in this case, because it is a pretty cut and dry subdivision, the structure's all staying the same, it's triggering this Planning and Zoning Commission action, which would be the case in any other situation, because they are all planned developments. So every single subdivision would be subject to public hearing.
I guess my better question would be, if these other lots were to come in and subdivide the way that Dr. Puri seems to be concerned about, that wouldn't trigger an increase in density. There'd still be the same amount of square footage allowed.
Mr. Brodsky, the approved statement of intent for all of Cross Creek has allocated specific square footage limitations to each of the development parcels. So Dr. Puri's concerns as it relates to this parcel in question is not relevant, because there is no square footage increase being asked for. Most of the projects that are out here already have either built to the maximum allowable square footage that they were allocated, and any additional allocation pursuant to private covenants of leftover square footage needs to be agreed to upon all of the property owners within Cross Creek. We have done one amendment to increase the total amount of square footage allowed, and it was with this particular tract when it was proposed as a hotel, because had it been allowed to have been developed using the available square footage left, it would have rendered three of the undeveloped tracts completely unavailable for development. So that is not what is happening with this request. And any project that would come forward because of its PD designation, as Mr. Orndorff has indicated, would require a public hearing, and it would require a very thorough investigation of what available square footage is even left in those planned districts. So there are protections here that Dr. Puri's interests would be addressed. The mere subdivision of a piece of property does nothing to increase density in the grander scheme of this commercial development. It is an ownership-related issue as to wanting to have separate ownership of square footage that was already allocated to the lot. Residential densities, on the other hand, if it was a residential project, again, may not have even been changed. But again, this is a commercial project, and the infrastructure is supportive of what is being proposed. We would evaluate any additional commercial project the same way.
That's what I thought. Just wanted to make sure I had a correct understanding of that.
Commissioner Lowe.
Thank you. Following up on Commissioner Brodsky's question, the other concern raised by Dr. Puri appears to be creating smaller lots. And per the report, the proposed lots meet UDC requirements. And my belief is that should Cross Creek limit lot size, that would be included in their statement of intent, correct?
That would be correct. And to my recollection, in administering this particular plan district since I have been here, there is no such limitation. The limitations are associated with the square footages that were allocated to the project, originally about 480,000 total square feet, over roughly the 10 or so lots that were originally proposed. There was no prohibition against subdividing any of those original 10 lots, and to be quite honest, Lot 108A is a subdivision of what was originally proposed as Lot 108. So this is a fairly normal practice of further subdividing down for ownership interest purposes only.
Thank you.
Any further questions for staff? Seeing none, we will open the floor to public comment. Please come forward, state your name and address for the record. We allow for 3 minutes for individuals, 6 minutes for groups or the applicant.
Chair and commissioners, my name is Kevin Murphy. I'm with A Civil Group, offices at 3401 Broadway Business Park Court. I think staff's laid this out pretty simply. It's the exact same plan that was brought forth most recently. The only difference is we're showing a lot line to be able to sell the northern lot and building and parking either to another entity of the current owner or another entity altogether. There's no change as far as Dr. Perry's comments, no change in the density or traffic or anything like that. Again, just as staff laid out. Just pretty simple, just putting a property line in between all of this. Any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Thank you very much. Any questions for the speaker? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you, folks.
Any other members of the public to come forward about this case? Seeing none, we will close public comment and go to commissioner comment. Any commissioner comments on this case? Commissioner Stanton.
Madam Chair, if my colleagues don't have any further questions, I'd like to entertain a motion.
Please.
As relates to case 62-2025, 1407 Cinnamon Hill PD plan revision, I move to approve the proposed PD plan and associated SOI revisions.
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Lowe. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Commissioner Stanton, when you're ready, may we have a roll call?
Broski?
Yes.
Peace?
Yes.
Spicer?
Yes.
Yes. Madam Chair?
Yes.
Lowe?
Yes.
Walters?
Yes.
Unanimous.
Thank you very much. That recommendation will be forwarded to City Council. Our final case for the evening, a request by a civil group agent on behalf of Gary and Brenda Lewis owners seeking to rezone 3.73 acres of a 5.38 acre parcel from MN mixed use neighborhood to RMF multifamily dwelling. The subject site is located at 4804 John Gary Drive. May we please have a staff report?
Yes, you may. Thank you, Madam Chair. So as we mentioned with the previous cases, property owner letters were sent on the 30th of December. This one got quite a few hits in the address list, so there were 88 of them. We also sent the Tribune ad, which was run in the January 7th edition of the Tribune. So, excuse me. So here's our aerial perspective view. Some of you who've been on the commission for a few years might remember that we've rezoned a number of the properties out here around Corporate Lake. This one was one that we actually didn't touch. So I guess now we're coming in and filling in the gaps. But as you can see, you've got Providence on the right-hand side of the screen with Hickman High School just to the north of the subject site here. Overall, I think we're pretty familiar with the area, so won't dwell on that much. So the overall site here is 5.38 acres. It's currently split zoned, which you can kind of start to get an idea of from the zoning map there. The corner lot where the clubhouse and pool house is, that's zoned RMF, which is actually, the split zoning is resulting from a 2023 lot combination that we did, which we actually addressed the issue that, you know, the split zoning is not prohibited, but it was a product of that lot combination at the time. So we're kind of addressing that now. The area to the north within the subject site in the east, north and east, that's the MN district at this point, and that's the portion that will be rezoning to RMF. So there is a current request in the Building and Site Development Department for building permits for 7 multifamily structures on the undeveloped portion of that lot. They would each have 12 units with 2 to 3 bedrooms. That's just for informational purposes, illustrating that they're trying to harmonize the zoning with the actual use of the site. And another concurrent request we have in for an admin plat that would actually shift the lot line on the east side 5 feet. And I believe that was to address the location of a sewer line or some other utility. But as I stated, it's an administrative process. So once it is consistent with the UDC requirements for a plat, then it will be administratively approved by the director. So not something you guys will see. All right, so this is a zoning exhibit provided by the applicant. As you can see, the corner lot down to the southwest is the corner of John Gary Drive and North Cedar Lake Drive. That's where that clubhouse is. It's kind of covered up by some of the labels there, but that is the one developed piece of this particular parcel. And then that section there in the hatched area, that's what is proposed to be rezoned. Which ends up being, and I thought I had, it's a little over 3 acres is what will be rezoned from MN to RMF. So that clubhouse lot has been zoned RMF since, I believe it was 2019. They asked for a conditional use permit for a private swim club on there. Part of that was because it was serving multifamily structures that were off-site across the street mainly. And so it was kind of the standalone use on this lot. So they were, so they did get that with the RMF zoning at that time. Little bit of background, this area was originally annexed with the exception of this clubhouse lot. 1986, and it was included in a PUD2 development plan for like townhome type of development, and then it was modified the following year in 87, I believe. And then so that MN portion was actually part of that. And then you can see here, Cedar Lake Drive actually was intended to go straight across, and that's kind of what this dividing line is that you can kind of pick up from the zoning. And so everything north of that dividing line was part of that Villa Madera PD plan from 1987, and it was zoned PUD2 at that time. I wasn't actually able to locate a record of when it was zoned to C1, but at some point it was. And so everything north of that dividing line eventually became C1, and then with the UDC adoption in 2017, it was translated into MN with the UDC. So that's kind of the genesis of the zoning there. It's been modified. As I said, we had previous zoning requests in the vicinity there, so a lot of that stuff has been kind of unharmonized, and we've harmonized it back, so that's why that whole block is MN now, with the exception of this RMF. So we're kind of moving in the opposite direction again, but we're harmonizing the uses with the zoning this time. So then I believe in 1990, I didn't put that on the slide. In 1990, the stuff south of that dividing line was annexed. And it, you know, that's a whole different story with zoning, but this portion here was zoned R3 upon annexation. That's the genesis of this RMF zoning on this southwest corner with the clubhouse. So a lot of stuff going on, and the street realignment for North Cedar Lake Drive really kind of complicated things and left some remnants in there that have been cleaned up over the years. But all that to just give you a little bit of background information on why we have kind of these differing zoning designations in the vicinity here. So the comprehensive plan actually designates the clubhouse portion as employment district. And I believe that would have been before the clubhouse was in existence there. So it was zoned RMF at the time of the comp plan adoption, but didn't have a use on it. And then the remainder of that was zoned, you know, C1 or MN, and so it was designated as commercial district. So the key factor there, though, would be that both districts do, while they do permit non-residential uses, they do still rely on the multifamily development in those districts to accommodate workforce users for those commercial uses that it would support as well. So it is not out of character to have multifamily development within the employment and the commercial districts. So, in conclusion, downzoning the portion of the site from MN to RMF aligns the intended uses with the zoning, and otherwise there's really very few implications. So with that, staff's recommendation would be to approve the request to rezone the 3.73 acres from MN to RMF pursuant to minor technical corrections. And the corrections are needed because the rezoning exhibit didn't match the legal description. So I believe that's been addressed, but we haven't received it back yet from the applicant. So I'd be happy to answer your questions.
Thank you. Before we go to questions for staff, if any of my fellow commissioners have had contact with parties to this case outside of the public hearing, please disclose so now. Seeing none, questions for staff? Commissioner Brodsky.
And this is probably just a little bit born from my own unfamiliarity with the new zoning code, but what's really gained by downzoning? Because they could do multifamily in MN. Am I correct about that?
It's I mean, the simple answer a lot of times is that it's a tax benefit. If you have a commercial lot, you're being taxed at a different rate than if it's a residential use. I don't know if that's their reason. That's pure speculation. Just, you know, that's usually what it is. But
looks like Pat has some
input.
A little bit of the back history on this before Mr. Palmer was assigned the case along with the admin plat. The applicant contacted our offices based on a building permit related issue. So split zoning, a split zone parcel has got to be looked at in its parts. And so the multifamily construction that is being proposed on this property is about 18 inches greater in height than is allowed in the MN zoning district, which maxes out at 35 feet. And so the admin plat is to align the property line so the side yard setback meets the increased side yard to get to the 45 feet allowed in the RMF zoning district. And the only way you can get the 45 feet is you have to rezone the 3.73 acres to RMF and then comply with the required enhanced side yard. And that is how they are then being able to move forward with the current construction plans that they have for the multifamily, which is similar to the multifamily that Mr. Lewis has developed elsewhere within this area. And so that's really the underpinning issue. Tax implications or not, which is probably a correct statement as well. You may be taxed a little bit less if you're residential versus the commercial, but that is the skinny of why this is really the impetus behind this. They were trying to resolve the zoning, the multiple zoning classifications, and this is why we don't recommend split zone parcels, because you have to look at them in the parts as they exist.
Perfect. Thank you for that background.
Thank you. Any other questions for staff? Seeing none, we'll open the floor to public hearing. Any members of the public to speak on this case, please come forward. Mr. Murphy, you know the drill.
Chairman, commissioners, Kevin Murphy again, 3401 with A Civil Group, 3401 Broadway Business Park Court. I think Mr. Zenner and staff is cleared up the situation at least somewhat, if not, but yes, and this gives me a chance to say why, or to blame it on the architect. engineers love to do that, so this is what we get to do. Yes, we had a split zoning, and the buildings fell into that split zoning area, and so this is kind of why we're going in that a foot and a half. It seems like it was pointed out to the architect with 35 foot, but anyways, that's where we're at. And again, it fits in with the development, the neighborhood, the adjoining parcel, and that whole center block is owned by the same owners and developers. And we currently have construction plans in review, which brought this up, and that's where we're at. So what we see is what we're going to get, and happy to answer.
Thank you. Any questions for the speaker? Seeing none, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Any other members of the public to speak on this case, please come forward. Seeing none, we will close public hearing and go to commissioner comment. Any commissioner comments? Commissioner Stanton.
If my colleagues don't have any further questions, I would like to entertain a motion, Madam Chair.
Please.
As it relates to case 64-2024, I move to approve the request to rezone 3.73 acres from MN to RMF pursuant to minor technical corrections.
Second.
Motion made by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Lowe. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Stanton, when you're ready.
Staff. Can you just leave that slide up just a little bit longer so I can write it down, but just leave it there for a second? Okay. Broski.
Yes.
Ortiz.
Yes.
Spicer.
Yes.
Yes. Gamera Jones.
Yes.
Slow.
Yes.
Walters.
Yes.
Unanimous, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. That recommendation will be forwarded to City Council. We will now go to public comments. Are there any general comments from the public this evening? Seeing none, Now, Mr. Zinner.
So, I will talk slowly so Mr. Stanton can write. Your next meeting will be February 6th. We have a work session and a regularly scheduled meeting. We will have a number of items on that agenda. We'll have four total items on the agenda for the February 6th meeting. Our tabled short-term rental application will be one of those items. So if I can, I will move forward. And you have potentially the subdivision action for 1516 Wilson Avenue. This is a preliminary plat. Technically, this would have been a replat of property. It's basically shifting a property line. However, there needs to be a public utility extension, and therefore it does need to come back before the Planning and Zoning Commission as a result of that, and then would be processed as a final plat after the approval of the construction plans for that public utility. You have two other requests in addition to the short-term rental that was tabled tonight. You have Arcadia Plat 9. This is another design adjustment, separate design adjustment that has been identified as a part of a replat of lots of record and is necessary to be handled as a public hearing, but the final plat or the replat, which would divide the property, is not part of the commission's discussion or consideration since it is consistent with the approved preliminary and it's replatting property that exists that has public infrastructure. The design adjustment specifically is relating to our minimum lot frontage standards for newly created lots, which specify that you need to have a minimum of a 300-foot lot frontage in order to have individual access. So Mr. Palmer will unpack those details at the February 6th meeting and go over a little bit of what the preliminary or the final plat will look like if approved, if the design adjustment were approved by both the commission and city council. Again, your 6825, which is 5406 Gemstone, that is the STR request that was tabled for this evening. Mr. Halligan will be delivering the staff report on that. And then 7025 is a permanent zoning request of 5961 South Route or South Highway KK. This is a parcel that is basically on the southwest corner almost of the Thornbrook subdivision. It is along this portion of KK, which is to the west of the elementary school, the only property that is presently outside the city's corporate limits. It is an island. The property surrounding this subject parcel was actually the subject of a platting action a couple of years ago. And so the property has been acquired by heirs, and they are desiring to have the parcel brought, this particular property connected to public sewer. And therefore, they are required to go through the annexation permanent zoning process. So we know where we're talking about, our Wilson Avenue project, and Mr. Palmer would be presenting that if the applicant is ready to move that forward. I think we may still be waiting on revisions. Our Arcadia Plat 9 property, the Fishhook, which we had done some rezoning with a while back, the IG and the MC were the changes there. That used to be planned district zoned property. And the design adjustment focuses primarily along the Roger I. Wilson Boulevard frontage. And then, of course, we have our Gemstone property, and my apologies for the tabling map not matching the map that you see here. As Mr. Sten was reading case number 48, that was the prior case that that slide went with. So this is the right map. This is the location. This is up off of Geyser Boulevard, just west, of course, of Lake of the Woods. This is the portion of the city that's, in essence, surrounded by the county. And then finally, the last project that will be on the agenda for the permanent zoning, that's our 5961 South Route KK. And everything to the north, as you can tell, that's the Thornbrook development. And the parcels that immediately surround this, the larger acreage tracts, were the ones that were part of the subject platting action. If I recall correctly, that was in 2020, 2019. The subject parcel that is actually being sought for permanent zoning and annexation has been determined to be a legal lot. So no platting of that property would be needed. It is improved with an existing single-family home. With that, that is all we have to offer for this evening. We will have more discussion at the work session on our small lot integration project. We will continue to move forward with that, trying to keep in tune with the calendar and schedule that we had provided in our memo from this evening's work session. And at the request of Mr. Brodsky, you all will receive a copy of the working draft of the use-specific standards that we have been discussing. Thank you very much for your time and your attention, as well as your comments.
Thank you very much, Mr. Zinner. Are there any commissioner comments for the evening? Commissioner Stanton?
Well, the comments from my colleagues, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn, Madam.
I would second that.
Adjournment moved by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Lowe. Without objection, we stand adjourned. Almost made it before 8.